hear now a reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. This will be a familiar passage for many of you, and you can find it either in the pew Bibles in front of you, or if you brought your own Bible, it'll also be projected on the screens, and you can pull it up on your electronic device. But again, I invite you to hear a reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, if you're going to make a New Year's resolution, I hope that you will make one that actually counts. Right before leaving Surf Synergy in Costa Rica, Marcel, who is the guy who ran the surf camp, talked to me about coming back and leading a retreat. As soon as we got into the van that would take us to the airport, I started talking about doing some kind of surfing mission trip, who I could invite, and how I could immediately start developing some promotional material. You see, I'm a dreamer. And I love coming up with new ideas and brainstorming possibilities. Emma looked at me with exhausted eyes and said, "Mark, can we at least get home from this trip before we start planning the next?" You see, Emma is a realist, and she was thinking about the logistics of getting me through two airports with a broken foot, finishing all of our Christmas shopping, which we were behind on, and trying to figure out how we were going to see all of our family during Christmas. As Emma often says, if our marriage were a car, I am the gas pedal and she is the brake. And a car needs both. And since opposites attract, this dynamic is pretty common in married couples. When we apply these differences to how people approach the new year, the dreamers are the ones who like to make resolutions. Where are my dreamers this morning? Do you have any dreamers or visionaries here? Yeah. We say things like, "This is going to be my year," right? I was at breakfast with family and a friend of mine from high school named Jesse, and we were talking as we were eating fried chicken and waffles. We were talking about how beginning on Tuesday, we're going to start eating healthy again, right? It's going to be my year. I'm going to accomplish important goals, and it's going to be great. To which the realist says, "You said that last year, but nothing really changed. So what's your plan for making this new year different?" Sometimes the resolution of the realist is to not make any resolutions at all. So where are my realists this morning? Are there any here? A lot more realists. Good Lord. We are outnumbered, dreamers. Now, as you try to locate yourself in these descriptions, remember that both perspectives are important if positive change is going to be possible. Again, just like a good car needs a gas pedal and a brake, growth in life requires a dream and a plan. When one side of the equation is missing, things go wrong. For example, a realist without a dream can easily become a pessimist. And you don't want to become a pessimist because they never get invited to parties. It's okay to be real, to ask questions and to help the dreamers slow down and think things through, but you don't want to kill creativity and stifle the possibility of something new. On the other hand, a dream without a plan can either fail to materialize or lead to foolhardy action that can be wasteful or even destructive. Dreamers need realists to help them get honest about the facts on the ground, to set realistic goals, and to develop solid plans. So if we want to make a New Year's resolution that counts, we start with a dream of what's possible, but then we also think things through, asking what's the best way to actually get this done. Most often we start by asking questions like, what do I want to change in my life? What do I think is possible for me in the new year? And while these can be good questions to get us dreaming about a better version of ourselves, I think there are better questions for people who follow Jesus. Rather than ask, what do I want to change about my life, we could ask, what does God want me to change about my life? Rather than asking, what do I think is possible for me, a better question is, what does God think is possible for me? You see the difference? And shifting from ourselves to God can change the kind of dream that is born in our hearts and can help us to move from a me mentality to a we mentality. This, in turn, reminds us that we will need God's help every step of the way if real change is going to happen. So what does God want to change in your life? What does God think is possible for you in the new year? Starting with these questions, a dream begins to develop. But if it's going to make any difference, it must develop with some specificity. And this can be difficult, even if we turn to the Bible for answers, because the Bible is a really big book. And we have to make decisions about where we will focus. You may remember that Jesus said, all things are possible with God. And the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And dreamers love these verses because they keep things open-ended. But realists know the importance of narrowing things down. And this is where our scripture reading this morning can be helpful. When answering the question, what does God want to change in me, or what does God think is possible for me, we can't go wrong by focusing on the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. No matter who you are or where you are in your spiritual journey, there is always room to grow in things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. In fact, no matter what your specific resolution, New Year's resolution might be, if you trace it back to what is required to achieve that goal, you will almost always end up reflecting on these virtues. For example, if your New Year's resolution is to get your finances in order, you will need to develop more self-control in your spending habits, more faithfulness in the way that you steward your resources, and more patience as you play the long game. Or let's say that you want to be a better parent or grandparent. You will need to cultivate more love, kindness, and gentleness. So instead of picking a specific outcome for a New Year's resolution, it's wise to focus on becoming a particular kind of person, to acquire the kinds of virtues that will help you to achieve these smaller goals. In the language of the Christian faith, we are wise to make resolutions that help us to become more like Jesus, because becoming more like Jesus is what is required to have a great life. In this way, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 can help us to narrow our focus so that we can make resolutions that count. But then we need a plan, don't we? The idea of developing all the fruits of the Spirit can be daunting. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I look at that list, I get overwhelmed. And if we get overwhelmed from the get-go, we might stop before we ever get started. So we need a realistic plan that will help us take it one day at a time, one step at a time. And while there are many ways to move forward here, consider this simple suggestion. Look at all nine of these virtues and pick one. Just pick one to focus on throughout the year. Now you may say, Pastor Mark, we're supposed to cultivate all of these. So how can I just pick one? And to answer this question, it can be helpful to ask the people around you, which one do I need the most? Now that, some people just got really nervous because their spouse is smiling at them right now. I'll help, right? I'll tell you what you need. Since we are enmeshed in our own lives, it's easy to lose perspective, isn't it? But if the people around you, especially the people who love you the most and who spend the most time with you, can see things that you cannot see about yourself. You know, when pastors come through seminary and kind of pick a focus, a lot of folks focus on preaching. I didn't. I thought homiletics was kind of boring, actually, and I didn't want to focus on that. Other pastors focus on leadership, and that's where I focused my attention, was on leadership development, servant leadership. And one of the number one principles of leadership that I learned early on that I think is still the number one quality is the ability to receive feedback. If you can't receive feedback, you're not fit to be a leader. Because we all have blind spots. There are things that we cannot see about ourselves because we're caught up in all of the details and the routines. And so we need other people who have a different perspective, who see us, who can get the mile high view and see us from a different point of view to give us feedback to help us to see the things that we can't see. And just as this is the case when you're trying to develop in business, when you're trying to develop in your marriage, it's also essential when you're trying to become more like Jesus, when you're trying to grow spiritually. And if you are humble enough and also courageous enough, these people can help you pick a virtue that would be most impactful in your spiritual growth. And so you might want to ask your spouse, when you look at all of these fruits, which one do you think would be most helpful for me to focus on this year? And don't get defensive, right? Take it as information. Think about it. Ultimately, you're going to make your own decision, but open your heart and mind to the feedback and let someone else speak some truth and wisdom into your life. Or this might be a friend, a trusted friend, or for some, it might be a counselor, a therapist, a spiritual director. It might be your coach or your personal trainer, whatever the case might be. Find someone that knows you and that you trust and they can help you. And again, I know that this can be a scary thought, but I hope that you will pray about it and ask, who do I trust? Who do I really trust? Who is skilled at speaking the truth in a way that I can hear it? And for some, it might not be your spouse. Can you open your heart and mind to their feedback? Remember that when God works to change us, it's not like Cinderella and the fairy godmother who waves a magic wand over us and says, bibbidi bobbidi boo, and then we change, right? That's not how it happens. When we pray for God to change us, God almost always does that through other people in our lives, the people that are all around us. So who are those people that can hold you accountable? Who are those people who can help you? Who, as in the words of Scripture, who is that person of peace in your life that will help you to put the pieces together? When God works to change us, It happens through others. And so who is it in your life that can help you to fix your focus on the right things? And in addition to focusing on one of these fruits in 2024, you will need a power greater than yourself to make the work effective. This is why the Apostle Paul describes these virtues as fruits, fruits of the Spirit, because they are things that God grows in us that we cannot grow in ourselves. It is impossible for us to grow in love, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. It's impossible for us to grow in these things without God's help, because God is the source and giver of all these good gifts. Jesus says in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me," say it with me, "you can do nothing." And this is why it's so important to shift from a me mentality to a we mentality. From what can I do for myself mentality to what can God and I do together mentality. Because without help from God, our dream will die and our plan will fail. If you know that to be true from experience, say amen. From a Christian perspective, this may be why so many New Year's resolutions evaporate so quickly. Because we lack the power and support that we need to effectively move forward. If we are going to grow in love, it is because God will cultivate love in us. If we're going to grow in self-control, it is because God cultivates more self-control in us. If we are finally going to get a handle on that addiction, it's only because God is cultivating sobriety in us. Yes, we have a very important role to play in our own transformation. As C.S. Lewis says, God wants to save you, but God will not save you without you. You have a role to play. It's not about praying and sitting back passively and waiting for a magic trick. It's going to require you to get to work. It's going to require hard work over a long period of time, just as if you were training for a triathlon. But it's all in vain. All of our efforts are in vain if we don't stay close to God and draw on the power that only God can make available. So part of committing to developing one of these fruits is committing to the development of our relationship with God, which was the main idea in my Christmas Eve message, if you were here. Making room. Making room for God in our lives, just as God has made room for us. And then the final piece is to develop deep, authentic relationships with other Christians. Do you have one or two other Christian people in your life that you know has your back, that you meet with regularly, that you talk to, that you share your struggles with? You see, if you remember, I said a few minutes ago that when God changes us, it almost always happens through other people. So as you're cultivating that relationship with God, if you have eyes to see, God is going to put people in your life or open your eyes to the people who are already in your life and say, these are the people that I want to walk beside you, to bear your burden, to celebrate your joys, to share life with other Christian people. Jesus didn't do ministry by himself. He did it with 12 of his best friends. And I can tell you that I am so blessed because I have a group of guys that I meet with every Thursday morning for breakfast. And many of them are here this morning. Where I can go and I can stop being Pastor Mark and I can just be Mark with my friends. and these guys text me during the week and call me during the week. There's a group within the group that has a gratitude text exchange that goes on, and we share gratitudes with each other. And just the other day, one of these guys called me, and we talk a lot about surfing, but we often talk about other things too, don't we, Todd? Todd's here this morning. And Steve and Mark and Gabe, and there's others. I don't want to leave people out. If you're here in my group, I just appreciate you so much. And I couldn't be the pastor that I am on Sunday morning unless I had these guys as friends on Thursday morning. And I'm wondering, who are your friends? Have you spent the time and energy that you need in this church to start making friends, to start connecting with other people? Again, just as it's scary to ask someone else what you might need to change in your life or what virtue you might need to focus on, it's scary to become vulnerable and to put yourself out there to make a friend. And sometimes we connect with two or three people and we think to ourselves, man, there ain't no way I want to hang out with that person. That was a false start, right? And that's okay. You don't have to like everybody in the church, but you do need to find at least one or two people that you can connect with, that can know you, that you can let down your defenses, you can show them who you really are, you can trust that what you say to them is in confidence, someone that you can call in the middle of the night for help when your kid is sick, or you've got anxiety about your career and you can't sleep. You need people in your life to help you. Christianity is not an individual sport, it's a team sport, and we need each other. And so it's important for you to avail yourselves to the opportunities that we make available here beyond Sunday morning, to come to a class or get involved in a small group, or if you don't have time for a small group, to get involved in something like the food pantry, where you're working with other people. And as you're working shoulder to shoulder, packing bags of food, for example, you're talking to these people and getting to know them. And at some point, you might exchange phone numbers and go to coffee. But it is a risk to become vulnerable. But if you don't, if all you do is come on Sunday morning and act like it's just about me and Jesus, and you don't have those relationships that will support you in your everyday life, eventually you are going to run out of resources to continue becoming the person that you want to be. Your spiritual growth will stagnate. And all living things are either growing or dying. And so while you might feel like you stop growing and you're kind of pausing for a moment, that pause will only last for a minute, and then you will start going backwards. You need support. Who are those people in your life? So my prayer this morning is that you will capture a dream for 2024 by reflecting on the fruit of the Spirit and asking, what does God think is possible for me? And I guarantee you that God knows that there are things possible for you that you would never imagine or think are possible for you. And that after you catch a dream from asking this kind of question, that you will focus that dream by prayerfully asking the people around you that you really trust, which of the nine fruits of the Spirit would most accelerate my spiritual growth and make me more like Jesus? And that you would make a resolute commitment at the beginning of this new year to stay close to God, to receive the power from him that is necessary to do the hard work and cultivate this virtue, and that you would at least make one friend where you have a deep, authentic relationship and the support that you need, so that this time next year, we will look back and even the realists will say, you did it. It wasn't the same as last year. The dream got legs and it went somewhere. And the people around you will be glad that you did. Because friends, when you become more like Jesus, it not only helps you to become more happy and fulfilled, it helps the other people around you to become more happy and fulfilled, because you're more tolerable to be around. You're more of a joy to be around. You're an encouraging presence. You're helping them also to become more like Jesus. So before we end the message this morning with prayer, I just want to give you a couple of minutes to look at the fruit of the Spirit, which is projected on the screen here. You can also find it in Scripture. Again, it's in Galatians 5. And you can use the screen, your own Bible, the Pew Bible, you know, however is the best way for you to to look at these. And as you look at this list of fruits, I want you to pray. Use this time for silent, private prayer. Just block out the people around you. This is time for you and God. And just pray, God, which of these do I need to focus on this year? That's the first question. And then the second is, and as I wrestle with this, as I try to discern which one I need to focus on, who isn't in my life that I can trust enough to ask to help me? So again, you can use this time for silent prayer. You can even write some things down on the back of the Lectio Divina sheet, which is inserted in your bulletin, or even just have quiet conversation with someone around you. If your spouse is here and you want to go ahead and ask that question, as long as you do so quietly, we just want you to use this time in any way that is most helpful. Hey everyone, it's Pastor Mark, and I want to thank you for tuning in. I also want to thank First United Methodist Church of Cocoa Beach, which helped make this ministry possible. If you would like to make a donation to the church, go to our church website, fumccb.com. Also, if you're in town, I hope that you will visit one of our services in person so that we'll have an opportunity to meet. May God bless you as you find your next steps in following Jesus.